Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Yud Tes, and we are discussing different harchakas nizakin obligations of shcheinim, of neighbors to each other. And yesterday we discussed when am I allowed to plant a tree, and I will have to get rid of the tree. When am I not allowed to plant the tree? Different considerations. I said we will touch on start with the issue of cutting down trees a little bit, right? But there is in the Parsha Shoftim, you know, that's the source for the Isser of Baal Tashchis, and the discussion of not being allowed to cut down a tree. Again, it's clear in the Psukim. The Torah says Baal Tashchis is Eitzel Ndochel of Garzen, Ki Mimenu Sochel Ba'usol Usichros, because you eat from it and you're not allowed to cut it down. Ki Adam Eitzel Sada Lavo Mipanecha B'Matzah. Okay, a person is compared to a tree. Lavo Mipanecha B'Matzah. So again, this is the source for Baal Tashchis. Eventually, the Gemtosvus in Maseches Brachas starts us off where the Mishnah says in Maseches Shvias, quoted there in Brachas, that there's a certain stage where you're not allowed to cut down the trees in Shvias. Once the fruit reaches a certain stage, they're considered Shvias fruit, Kedusha Shvias, and therefore cutting down the tree would be destroying it. Name is like in Kotzen and Silonis b'Shvias, there's a discussion of Beshame and Beselol there. Stosvus there says, forget Shvias. V'yim tomar below Shvias nami. Brachas lamin vavim abeis. Tebek le da'asim yishem Baal Tashchis. Baal Tashchis are not allowed to cut down trees. Any year of the Shemitah cycle. Tosfos there has two answers. V'yesh lomar, d'lo tayin kaba, d'lo shayach be'Baal Tashchis. Number one, maybe it didn't produce a lot. It didn't produce a lot, so there's no Baal Tashchis. He quotes a Gemara coming up in a week, Bezal Hashem, and Baba Basra. So there's no Baal Tashchis there. It was not so productive. Inami Iri, d'me'ula bedamim, lasos mimena koros. It was worth more to the owner as lumber. So we wanted the owner as lumber, and therefore, there wouldn't be an issue of Baal Tashchis, but therefore the only issue is Shvias. So you see from Tosfos already he has limits on the Isra of Baal Tashchis. Number one, if it hardly produces anything, so I guess in that case it would be considered a Ilan Srak. It wouldn't really be considered a fruit tree. And number two is that it's worth more as lumber. So again, why does each sheet argue with the other one? Right, does the first sheet say that even if it's worth more as lumber, so then you wouldn't be able to cut it down? Right, what is the Nukritus HaMachlokas? There is a different discussion in the Achronim when it comes to Baal Tashchis. What exactly is the root of the Isser? Besides the fact that it's a Machlokas, what's Daraisa, what's Darabanan? Right, if you look in the Rambam says that cutting down trees is Daraisa, and everything else you get Malchus Mardus, if you just destroy anything else. Derech Hashchasa. So what does that mean? Does that mean it's Daraisa with Malchus Mardus? Or does it mean it's Derabanan, everything besides trees? That's a discussion in the Nosei Kalim on the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim. But if you look in the Achronim, the two ways, what Rov Achronim seem to say, the Netziv says this and others say this, the roots are already in the Rishonim. The Yisra Baal Tashchis is based on the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me something and I don't use it. So I'm basically spitting in his face. He gives me something, a Davar Shal Hana'ah, and I do not use the Davar Shal Hana'ah that he gives me. And therefore, that is the problem. That is the problem. I'm not allowed to do that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me something. Let's find the Netziv. The Netziv writes in Dvarim. Let me just find it here. After the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Says the Netziv. Can't find it. I'll just say it outside in a minute. One second. Here. Says the Netziv, the kol mashe nitzrach lahanoas adam mitzvah shelo lahashchis el lahenos bimenu. Anything that a person could get hana from, it's a mitzvah not to destroy. Right, so that's the focus. The focus is the potential hana that you could get, and if you're not getting that hana, so then that is the problem. The Ramban also seems to hold this implicitly because the Ramban has a mitzvah asay. The sixth mitzvah that he says the Rambam forgot, mitzvah shishish in its tavinu, we're commanded when we surround the city, le'echol min ha'ilanus. So mitzvah asay, to eat from the tree surrounding the city. So that's the asay of Baal Tashchis. So you see the focus is getting the pleasure, and not getting the pleasure is the problem. That is all one idea. Second idea, though, mentioned in the Sefer HaChinuch also has this previous idea, but the Sefer HaChinuch has a separate idea, which is Kedarka Bakodesh Lishitaso. What the Sefer HaChinuch says, we are always influenced by what we do. So therefore, says the Sefer HaChinuch, we should not be involved in destructive activities. Because if we're involved in destructive activities, that will impact negatively on us. This business is shul, it's tough kuf chavtes. Kedel lamid ben afshenu le'ahov atova atoelas lidavik bo. When we talk kach, tidlak bonu atova v'narchik mikol davara mikol davar ashkasa. Right? We should, because we want the tov to stick to us, we want to all the negative and destructive actions to go away from us. V'der der chachasidim achi maisa o'avim shalom v'smeichim atov abrios u'makarben osan. They wouldn't even destroy a tiny little seed of musk, a mustard seed. What we see, it has nothing to do with the potential hana, but it's just the act, it's the maisa hashkasa itself that is problematic. Again, there are a number of nafkaminas that can be based on this. Again, here's one of them. It's if you're damaging someone else. If you're damaging somebody else, you have a responsibility. So there, either way, we might say, well, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. But you could have said that the more it's about the potential hana that's being gone, so of course you have to rip it down because there's hezek happening. If it's more of the maisah shchasa, maybe Bezin will think twice before they tell somebody to destroy a tree. But again, the issue that Tosfos brings up in Brachas is a very important issue in the poskim. What about lumber? The Taz discusses this in Yaradei and Kuf Tes Zayin. If a tree is worth more as lumber than as a tree, the Taz expands this based on other Rishon. And what happens if there's a different Sorach? What if I need the space? What if I need the space where the tree is? Is that enough of its Sorach? I want to build a house where the tree is. I want to build a porch where the tree is. Is that enough of a Sorach? And the Taz is notel lahakel in that case. In Kuf Tezayin Sivav, he also notes that the Shulchan Aruch does not quote this anywhere. So that's just the mystery, why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have Hilchus Baal Tashchus anywhere. There is, in this discussion of Lutzorech Adam, there is an issue brought up by Rav Yaakov Emden and the Binyan Sion. There seems to be a danger involved in cutting down trees. Alpi Kabbalah or Alpi Ayin Hara. So even if Me'ikr Hadin, there are heterim, in some cases, poskim might shy away from giving a heter because of this danger. Unless the Binyan Sion discusses this danger in Simin Tzadik Samach Aleph. And he says, but I'll still be Mekel, even though there is this danger issue, if you uproot them and plant them somewhere else. And you do it maybe through a non-Jew, and the Jew is makne the land to the guy before he cuts it down. So all of those, if you do all of those, then he's for sure comfortable with saying that you could cut down the tree. But again, there are other nafkaminas as well, just to mention two others, and then we'll continue. What about violating Baal Tashchus b'shei Baal Taseh? You don't do an act. You don't do an act. The case that we mentioned in the past, the Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva where somebody went to Chutz Laretz, and he was makne in Eretz Yisrael on Pas Yisrael, and when he went to Chutz Laretz, there was not, so he had Pas Akum, and then when he come back to Eretz Yisrael, he had some leftovers. So now that he's back in Eretz Yisrael, so can he just go like his minhag of eating Pas Yisrael and let the Pas Akum go to waste? So is there Sheva Baal Tashchus b'Sheva Al Taseh? So again, it might be Tali on our Chakira. If you say it's Tali on the Maisa Ashchasa, so here there is no Maisa. So maybe it would be mutter if you say the second approach. But if you say the issue is the hana'a that you were squandering that Hashem gave you, so then it would be usur even here as well. What about pachas mikashir, a tiny amount? So again, hana'a might not be called hana'a in that case. It was only a tiny amount. But it still might be a ma'isa hashchasa if it could be labeled as that. So again, there are other nafkaminas as well, but this relates to the issue when Bezin is telling you to cut down the trees. Now, one has to know exactly what the case is. Is it a fruit tree? Is it not a fruit tree? And one has to look in the poskim to see what is allowed. Okay. Says the Gemara on top. Yitasimut Aleph. V'lo nivrechas akobsin. So the Mishnah had said that you're not allowed to have your soaking laundering pit next to your friend's field, next to your friend's wall, unless you distance it three tefachim. So v'lo nivrechas akobsin. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravu, alo shanu ela min hamechamsan. This is only, there are different types of laundering pits. This is only from the soaking pit. That's what requires three tefachim. Avo min hanadion dalaramas. What's nadion? Rashi says the place where you agitate the clothing, like you shake it around. So that requires more because it sprays out. It overflows. So therefore, only from the soaking area is it three tefachim, but from the nadyan it requires more. Tani nami hachi, you also learned this in the Brisa, and the Rechaz HaKovtzin, Dal Ramos, V'anan Tanan Gimel Tefachim, Elav Shemina Kidur of Nachman, must have this chilek. And some ask it as a question. Vika drami lehu mirmi. Tanan, our Mishnah says, Nevrachas Akov sin gimel tvachim. I have a tanya arba amos. A different writer says, Dalad amos. I'm Rav Nachman. I'm arba avu alokasha. Kan min hamachamson. Kan min ha nadyan. It depends which one it is. Rav Chiya breder of Avya masi la behedya. He has it explicitly. El emkin hirchak mi svas machamson. Ula kosel gimel tvachim. He specifically limits our Mishnah to a specific type of soaking of laundry. Remember, if you think about it in Hilchos Shabbos is the Malacha of Malabim. We know there are three stages, the Poskim point. There are three stages in any laundering process. In the olden days, how did they launder? So first they soaked it. That's the first thing they did. That was the first stage of the washing process. Then they shook it around. Like those are the two stages that they have here. And then they wrung it out. Those are the three stages of the laundering process. And those are the three stages in modern cycles of a modern washing machine. You have the soak cycle, you have the agitate cycle, and then you have the rinse, the spin cycle. So each of those, for Hilchos Shabbos, any one of them is Asa Daraisa, for Malabim, right? Any one of them, even though you might say you need all three to really get it clean, but even if one doesn't get it fully clean, even if somebody just happens to a little bit clean something, let's say I put water, so I got a stain on my shirt, so I put some water on it, that's Asa Daraisa. Right, I just pour. That's the soaking cycle. It's the soaking. Let's say I don't have any water. Let's say I just have dirt, and I'm meshafshef the shirt in order to try to get the stain off. Not this, not something above the shirt. Let's say I have a glob of chalent that fell on my shirt. So I take it off. So anything above the surface, you're allowed to take off. That's not considered embedded, and that's not libun. So it's above. But if it's embedded and I try to get it out, so then that is asur as well. And that's the third. And the third one is rinsing. Because when you rinse out liquid, you're making it cleaner because you're getting out the dirty liquid. That also would be a problem. So any one of these, the shriya, the shifshif, or the slita, would all be usur on Shabbos. So again, just to talk for a minute about each of these, right? So shriya, just soaking it. Soaking it in a, even though it's still dirty at the end of the process, you know, you haven't finished cleaning it, I try to get the stain off of my shirt. I put a little, right, that's the automatic reaction. We get a stain, we want to put a little seltzer, we want to put a little, right, gotta be careful, not allowed to do that. Now, even though it's not going to be totally clean at the end of the day, after you do that, still, it's going to be us, or any contact of a liquid with the garment. Sometimes a baby soils something, so I just want to throw it in the sink and I'll deal with it after Shabbos. Can't throw it in the sink if the sink has liquid in it. That's the whole point. You can throw it in a dry sink, you get to just get it away, put it in a bag, but one cannot throw it in a wet sink because that is shriya. A discussion in the Achronim, between discussion, there is a minority of Achronim, Rav Yashiv and the Shevet Alevi, that discuss soaking one's contact lenses on Shabbos, putting it in the solution that we disinfectant solution. So Rav Yashiv and the Shevet Alevi are machmir. I'm not sure they say that it's an issue of libun. Fiza adashot magash ledivrei amumchin shahamayim nivlaim letochan. Right, the mumchin say that the water gets absorbed in. Vehein rachim biyoser yish ladun delav arach lemevet hachi. Leshros mayim b'Shabbos. It's inappropriate. Let's say that's inappropriate. And therefore, he says maybe if you do it before Shabbos. But he is machmir, and if you look in, there's a letter from Rav Ozner also quoted in the back of the Sefer Otzos HaShabbos that they are machmir in this case. We don't know exactly how much is being absorbed. We can't be sure. So therefore, one has to be machmir. But it seems like Rova Poskim are mako regarding this. That is not kol libun. Maybe it's clean already. You're just doing extra. Maybe it's not absorbed at all. Right? The Shmir Shabbos writes in Perek Tesvav. You've got to put it into liquid. There's no issue. You're not fixing anything. You're not cleaning anything. That is just a place where it is, right? And he quotes from Rav Norwith also. It's not domet to real libun cases. Not a problem. If you want more information on this, Rabbi Blyach has an article about this in volume 5 of Contemporary Halachic Problems. Whenever you have anything from Rabbi Blyach, you know you'll get every source there is. So he has 5 pages where he discusses why it's mutter. He quotes Dr. Abraham. He quotes all of the sources. But again, that is a chumrah of Rabbi Yashiv. But the other poskim, most poskim seem to be mako, that is not considered a problem of shriya of libun. That is number one. Rav Moshe also has a heter. Maybe we'll finish with this. Moshe also has a heter. What about disposable? What about if there's a spill? That's how do you clean up a spill? So I dump a disposable napkin into it. So he said, Moshe, disposable. There's no liban by disposable items. Moshe said that in Shuvah and Chelak Basim and Ayin, there's no problem because you're throwing it out. You're throwing it out, then you're not interested in it. There's also, we're not going to talk about that, Derech Lichluch, another type of heter if you're wiping and you're not cleaning. So there are Mekomos B'Hakel, just had to figure out how to wash a beggar. Okay. So let's stop there with the issues of Shechita. Maybe at the end we'll see if we have more time on Malavein. But let's continue now. So again, the Mishnah says that if I have the soaking pit, I have to leave it 3 tefachim from my neighbor's fence. But if I have the agitating pit, the scrubbing pit, so then I have to leave it even more because the squirting, the splashing. Says the Gemara, Besad Besid. The Mishnah had said that I also have to line it with lime. So Ibai Lahu. What does that mean? Visad besitnan, odilma osad besitnan. Do I have to distance and line it? Or either or? The Ritva says that it's not that we forgot what the Mesorah was in the Mishnah. We know exactly what the Mishnah says. It has a Vav. But we just don't know what it means. We don't know if it's a Vav and or it's a Vav or. That's the question. So says the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Ibailo, Visad besitnan, odilma O sad besitnan. So pshita, it's obvious, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, de visad besitnan. It's an and. It's an and. Why? De isak adayach de o sad besitnan. Because if it's an or, im kain le'irvinu v'lesinu. If it's an or, so why did the Mishnah just put it together with the seifa? In the seifa, it's for sure an or. But the cases of the different piles of items, not the pits. That's a for sure an or. So why did they put it together? It must be the resha is an and. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Dilma mishum dilo dami hayazeka lahayazeka. Maybe even if it's both O, still it puts it separately because it's different types of damaging. It's different types of hezek. Resha hezeka demetunta, seifa hezeka deheva. As we had yesterday, the resha is a case of a moisture problem, and the seifa is a case of a hevel, a case of a steam or odor kind of problem. So therefore, the Mishnah would still differentiate between them, even though they have the same halacha regarding the sad besit. The Gemara, we're going to try to prove this a little more, but let's just finish, and then we'll see that there is no answer to this question. Tashma, the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, as we had, Salah Babi Adayim, let's say you have dirt that's very soft, Zechofer Bora Mikan, each person digs their pit. Zemach Gimel Tachim Vesad Besid. Zemach Gimel Tachim Vesad Besid. So you see, so there's difference. There's a question. Yeah, the Sefer says Osad Besid, and the Rashi says. Right. That's why it's a question. That's the question in the Gersos. Look at Tosfos there.
Question. According to the Gersos, that O is in parentheses, isn't there?
If it's not there, then we have. But we understand the Sefer as clearly O.
Why?
Because there, in the case of these items, so we assume either one of these would be for sure enough. The Gefes and the Zevel. That's how the Gemara understands it. There's a question about that Girsa. Look at Tosfos there.
Okay, let's assume that. But if it's O subdivided in the Seifa, and this subdivided in the ratio means O, then why doesn't it
right,
say
so
O?
If it's Beferish...
Because they're separate.
Right, that's why the Rishonim take out that O. That's why it's in parentheses. Because if it was Beferish O in the Seifa and a Vav in the ratio, then Lachor, that's the point.
Is anyone Goris the O?
If everyone Goris... I'm not sure. You look in the Tosfos. Look in the Tosfos there. V'nira l'rid b'seifa nami garas visad besid, v'lo garas o. Right, exactly. Because or else you would be able to prove it from our Gemara. So that's why they take out that girsa. So says the Gemara now. So the case of selah habav yadayim, you have the soft dirt. So you have to do both. So tama de babi yadayim. The reason they have to do both is because it's such so soft. Halo babi yadayim lo. So our diak is if it's not that case, you wouldn't need to do both. Answers the Gemara, Hu adin da'af agav de lo babi adayim nami sar besid. No, really, even lo babi adayim, you'd have to do both. U babi adayim et strichalei. And babi adayim, you need to, there's a chiddush by babi adayim. Sakad adachamina kivin de babi adayim li bay rav chatfei kamash b'ma. No, like we said earlier, you might think by babi adayim, you need even more space because it really falls apart. Kamash b'lan. That's the chiddush. Fine. So this question is not answered. The question of, is it or and is not answered. So what do we paskin? So says the Rush here, the Rush in Siman Dalet, because it's a bayit de l'ikshita, so we are makel, and therefore the mazik, quote unquote, has to only do one of them. Has to only do one of them. That is the Rush, because it is a baya de l'ikshita. If you look on the Rambam quotes it and says you have to do both. The Rambam says you have to do both. In the beginning of Hilchas Perek Tes of Hilchas Shechinim, the Rambam says, "Vol Yachmer Adam Bar, Volo Siach, Volo Ma'ara, Volo Yavi Abbas Hamayim." All of these types of pits, you can't bring it close to your friend's wall. Ella Imkain Hirchad Mikosel Chaver Shlosh Tvachim V'Yasud Besid Lekosel Bar Zeh. You do both. So by the literature, the Rush says only one has to be done. The Rambam says both. So the Rush seems to be right, the more mistaber, right? What do you have to do? So you're mako. So how does the Rambam read the Gemara? Says the Magen Mishnah there, tarti b'inan. You know what? Even though it's a bayit l'ifshita, but the language of the Gemara earlier was pshita, tarti b'inan. When the Gemara first tried to prove it, pshita, it said, even though it rejected it, but still, kasva mafarshim, dekivan dekach amru b'pshitus, de tarti b'inan, hachi kaimalan, v'zed asa machaber. That is the svar for the Rambam. That's the Rambam reads the Gemara, says the Magen Mishnah, even though it's a bayit l'ifshita. Interesting. It uses the lashon of pshita at the beginning, so that is why the Rambam assumes that the baya is hufshat, even though it doesn't seem that way. Rav Aaron Cutler and Mishnah Rav Aaron seem to say, no, maybe the Rambam just thinks you have to go l'chumra, not l'kula on the mazik. Therefore, you only have to do one, but you're not sure, so you go l'chumra, so you're not mazik someone. L'chumra, you're not mazik someone. That is what the Mishnah Rav Aaron suggests. And just one other, the Chazon Ish writes.
Well, is the Rambam consistent any time in the Zikin?
I don't know how many other times it says pshita when it has a bayit
l'ikshita. Oh, so pshita is not a raya, it's just a raya that you have to go
from. Well, if the question is not answered, but it used a pshita on one of the sides, I don't know how often that is. Right? But the Rambam said that there pshita is enough to tell you that's really what we should pass.
So still, Rabbi Kala relies on pshita.
And he doesn't call the pshita. He says, and maybe as far as even without the pshita, you have to figure out. Well, it's machra, whoever it's machra on is making on the other one. So you're not going to always know. The Chazon Ish writes a svara for the Rush. Why does the Rush say just either one? V'shamina minei de besafik nezek mikri mazik muchzak. Who's the muchzak in the case of safik nezek? Who's the muchzak? So you see from the Rush that the mazik is the muchzak. I'm the muchzak and the money, therefore I only have to do one. V'rashoy lach v'rtokim ultvachim al smach shiasasid afakav deish safik dadayinu mazik. Safik mazik, the mazik is the muchzak. And then he says, even the Rambam, who says that you need both, he says, yeah, I don't think the Rambam disagrees fundamentally. I think the Rambam thinks that based on the pshita, the baya is hufshat, it's not a safik anymore. But even the Rambam would agree to the Rush fundamentally that if it was a case of safek, so then the mazik would be considered the muchzak and you would be able to go to the kula for the mazik. That's the Chazon Ish, Baba Basra, Simin Yud. Simin Yudalit, Simin Yud Gimel, Os Yud. Os Yud. Okay, right. Two dots, right in the middle. Barchikin Sekevet Vesazevo Vesamelach Vesasloim. Tanan Hasam says the Mishnah in Shabbos. So the Mishnah in the fourth parak talks about what are you allowed to do hatzmana in and what not. We know one of the three Sridh Rabbanon of Bishol. When it comes to Shabbos, you have Shehiya, leaving something in beforehand, Hachazara, putting something back on Shabbos, and hatzmana. Hatzmana, insulation, different halachas. Before Shabbos, you're not allowed to insulate even in only in something that's Mosef Hevel, that adds heat. On Shabbos, even in something that is ain't a Mosef Hevel. Various halachas. So the Mishnah there lists items that give off heat. So the question is going to be that there are different items on the two lists. Here we have items that you can't put next to your friend's wall that are mosif hevel. It leaves one out and puts one in. You can't insulate in gefes, in the olives, in the zevel, in the fertilizer, in the melach, all of these are mosif hevel. At heat, dry or moist sand. So he asked the Gemara. So Mishna Hacha Diktani Slaim. Why here in our Mishnah it says Slaim Vilok Tani Chol and it leaves out sand? Well, Mishna Hasam Diktani Chol Vilok Tani Slaim. And in that Mishnah in Shabbos it says Chol, but it doesn't say Slaim, right? So why there's there differences? Why are there differences in the list? So two answers given. Number one, three answers given. Number one, Amar of Yosef Lefisha Ein Darkon Shal Bnei Adam Lahatun B'Slaim. People don't usually insulate their food with rocks. With rocks, with flints, right? So people don't usually insulate their food. It does cause sparks, But so therefore you have to be distanced from your friend's field, but people usually do that. That's why Slaim are not in Shabbos, but they are in Baba Basra. The Rimigash says, well, this is going to be rejected anyway, so we didn't say how does the other side. This answer, Rav Yosef, does not answer the other way. Why Chol is in one and not the other. This just focuses on the Slaim one. But before that, Amar Le Abaya, V'chidarken Shal Bnei Adam Lahatmin Begizei Tzemer, V'loshono Shal Argaman. Well, you only say things on Shabbos that are normal to hide in. The people you normally hide in raw bundles, raw spools of wool, and L'shono Shal Argaman. You have a garment, purple materials. The Tanya, Tona Megidei Tzemer, Ubitzipei Tzemer, L'shono Shal Argaman, Uba Mochin. The Ein Metaltan Osam. You're allowed to be wrapping them because they are not mosif, but you're not allowed to touch them. So you see the Mishnah and the Brises list off even items that are unusual, right? Because they're just telling you the theoretical halacha. So slaim should have been in there. You're not allowed to move them though if you're wrapping these, because these are not they're not roy for anything. So you're just wrapping them, so for their muksa. So how do you wrap in them and make it usable on Shabbos, right? How do you wrap in them and get your pot out? So the discussion in Masechta Shabbos, you wrap and you leave the handle out. You leave the handle out, so when you pick up the handle of the pot, the stuff that it's enwrapped in falls away. But you're not allowed to touch that directly. But you just stick the handle out. Stick the handle out. Isn't that another problem of why shouldn't you be able to move the handle? Right? There's a concept called buses in halacha. Buses on Shabbos. Buses on Yom. Buses is davar ha'aser. We know that if you have a muksa item that is being supported by a davar heter, so then you're not allowed to even move the davar heter. Right, if I have candlesticks on a tray, that is the example always given. So even when the candlesticks go out, the candles go out, and now it's not muksa machmas isser anymore. Meaning, I'm not going to put out the candle when I move it. But still, the tray was a basis, so the whole thing becomes muksa. So here, ask first Tosas, the first daf and beitza. Right, similar discussion. When you have the pot and you wrapped it with insulating items, materials that are muksa, and you're just going to move it with the top, so why is that mutter? Isn't that basis? So various answers given, but the one that's seems to be the one that the Rishonim give there, Masechta Shabbos, is that a basis is only where the bottom item, the basis, is serving the top item. Where the tray is serving the candles, then the tray is bottled to the candles, and the candles and the tray becomes muksa. But here, what's serving what? The muksa materials are serving the pot cover. The pot cover is the ikker. And even though you don't go by physical what's on top and what's on bottom, you go by what's being mishamish what. A basis becomes a basis when it's being mishamish the dvar muksa. But if the dvar muksa is being mishamish the non-dvar muksa, then that's not going to create a basis. That's an important yisod in Hilchos basis. That's why some people put candies, surrender something on the tray also with the candlestick, so it's a basis of dvar asar ul dvar hamutter. And it's mutter. Some say you can't do that because the candlesticks are worth a lot more. You don't go by what you want, but you go by objective value. Get different discussions in the post. Okay, back to the question. So the Gemara, so Abaya asked on Rav Yosef. So you see from Shabbos, so you do mention items that are not commonly wrapped in. So Slaim should be there too. So Ella Amar Abaya. So Abaya answers. A second answer. Yagid Olav Rayo, the pasuk from Iyov. His friend will be made on him. Right, that means, right, whatever your neighbor is, you are. Whatever this one is, that is. So Tana Hakaslam Buadin Lachol, Tana Aslam Chol Buadin Lachol. It says one in each one. You just put them together. Right, you have to read one in light of the other one. That's the principle of Yagid Olav Rayo. Amale Rava I Yagid Olav Rayo. If that's true, if you want to say these Mishnayos are using that principle, Listeninu Lekulhu Bachada VeListenichada Meinu Meinayu Beidach. If you're saying that, so then list all of them in one context. List only one of them in the other one, and we'll know that it's like a v'chulu, ayin shum. So you don't have to say any more in the second one. So Abaya rejects that. So number three, Ella Amar Rava. So Rava rejects that. Ella Amar Rava. So we have Rav Yosef, and we have Abaya, and now we have Rava. Third answer. Why is it that Chol and Slaim are in different Mishnayos and not in the other ones? El Amar Rava, Hasam Haynu Taima, Tulok Tani Slaim, Mishum Demistachi La Likadera. It doesn't say rocks there because people wouldn't. Not that it's just not so common, but wouldn't. It's going to scratch up your pot. It's going to ruin and break your pots. That's why they don't use rocks there. So they specifically don't. It's worse than the others, which are just unusual. They don't. And hachayinu taima, lotani chol. Why doesn't it say chol here? Mishum de machmime chayim umakrire karir. Sand doesn't add heat. It just keeps whatever the present situation is. So it'll keep in the heat, but it'll also keep in the cold. So inherently, it doesn't give off heat. Therefore, just putting it next to the wall in our... If my friend's wall is cold and I'm going to put sand next to it, that's not going to be a problem because the sand will just keep the wall cold. So that's why it's not a problem. I v'hatani Rav Yoshia chol. Rav Yoshia does say chol in the Bavasra context. Hasa b'matuna. That's talking about moist and damp sand. Tana didan nami lisni b'lokma b'matuna. So why don't we have chol in our Mishnah and just say that it's talking about moist. Hatanale amasamayim. Same principle. It says a moisture case. It says two moisture cases anyway. So if it's chol is moist, as you can say the third one. So hanu tzrichi, no, specifically the kofsin case is needed with the amas amayim case. Why? Hanu tzrichi, ditan amas amayim mishum tekviya. If we only had the aqueduct case, that's usur because that's something permanently there. It's there always, once you build it. But just the washing pit, which is not kavua, maybe you would not need it. V'itan and nevrechas akovsin mishum tekavu v'kaimi. And if you only had the washing pit, maybe I would have thought mishum because the water is stagnant; it stays, doesn't move anywhere. So that's worse. Aval amas amayim lo. But if you have an aqueduct moving, so then no. So tzricha. So therefore, you need both of those. You need amas amayim and you need the nevrechas akovsin. You need the laundry pit and the aqueduct, each one. Says the Ritva, what about the other ones in the Mishnah? The Gemara doesn't discuss those. What about why do you need the Ma'ara and the Siach? You need all of those. You can't just have the pit. So, says the Ritva, there are those that say there's a Tzrichasa there too. Maybe so one is deeper, and one is not deeper, and one is... Right, he tries to figure out, and then he says, I don't think so. I think they're just, Bar Siach and Ma'ara are always listed all together. It's like one phrase. So therefore, I don't think you have to come up. That's why the Gemara doesn't say it. If there was really a Tzrichasa, I think the Gemara would say it. Said the Ritva, but if it didn't, so I just think it's just said derech agav, period. Vayter two dots. Marchigan says Rambam Samach Reisha. Our Mishnah said you have to distance your if you put seeds in your fields or if you put are you plowing? You got to leave space at the side again. So the Gemara says you have to mention seeds and plowing. Zroim typically Mishmach Reisha. Whenever you put seeds in, you're gonna have to plow it. So just say plowing, and you'll know you have to distance when you put seeds in. So the Gemara answers no, but my polis yad. There are cases that you could do it without plowing. You throw it in with your hands. You throw the seeds into the ground with your hands. So therefore, you wouldn't know it from machresha. That's why you have to say zera. Machresha v'tevuk le'mishim zrom. So what about the opposite case? Say zera, and every case of zera, you'd have to distance. So that includes cases of plowing. So b'charesh le'ilah knows. Now, there are cases, maybe you're plowing where you're going to plant trees. You're not going to put seeds in. And therefore, again, Zeroyim will not teach you Machresha. That's why you have to say both of them. V'tebukle mishum maya. Aren't you going to have to water all of these things? The seeds in the trees, whatever it is, got to be watered. And we already said, in cases of moisture, you have to distance. Gemara answer, no, ton of Eretz Yisrael koi. The ton is talking about a case of Eretz Yisrael. Dichsiv l'mtar shamayim tishta mayim. Right, Pasuk in Dvarim, where it says that we get rain. We get the rainwater. Therefore, he's not going to have to water it. He's not going to have to water it. It's going to come from the rain. As we know, as the pasuk there says, "Lo karetz mitzrayim hi." Right? There's not Eretz Mitzrayim, but there's going to be irrigation. We're going to be relying on the rain. Period. Lameimra. Right? The Mishnah says that you have to leave a certain amount of space by Zroyim. Lameimra, the Zroyim. Let's study in Karmisharshi. Is this to teach me that Zroyim, right? Their roots go sideways for Zroyim, and that's why you'd have to leave space. V'hatzna. Didn't we learn in the Mishnah in Kilayim? A mavrich is like Gefen Baretz. If somebody is mavrich, what's havracha? There's harkava and havracha in the Mishnayos. Harkava is grafting. I take two trees and put one on the other. Havracha means there's a certain vine in a certain place. It's not growing so well. So I'm going to put it in the ground and bring it out of the ground somewhere else. So the original vine, we had in Klal Gadol, we had another place, right? The original vine still is in the ground. The original shrushim. But now I'm just putting it in a different spot. So if somebody does that, I put a vine underneath. So what if there are zraim on top of this vine, in the dirt where I went underneath? So is that a problem of kilayim? for the Tefachim and the Zeroyim. So, im ein al gaba ofer shlosha tefachim, if there are not three tefachim of dirt on top of the where you went underneath, then lo yavi zera aleha. Then you're not allowed to have Zeroyim there. You're not allowed to plant above where you drag the vine underneath, because that's going to be a problem. V'tani Allah aval zareas asad ne'elah fa'elach. But right next to it is okay. So you see, the Zeroyim don't go out. They only go down. Right, Kasha? We'll get back to that in a second. Amar Rav Chaga, B'shem Rav Yossi, no. Mibnei she'machlidin es ha'karka u'ma'alin ofer tichoach. Right, the problem is by the wall is that it's going to, even if it goes down, even if it goes down like we just proved, it's still going to ruin the dirt around it. Even if the roots aren't going to go out, but it's going to ruin the dirt around it, it's going to make it very soft, and therefore it's going to ruin your the wall. What's the issue of the kilayim here? We know the halacha is that if I have, there are different halachas between a vineyard and a vine. If I have a vineyard, a real kerem, then there's the halacha that you need dalet amos outside the kerem for a kilayah kerem. Right? You need dalet amos out, right? For it's called the avodas hakerem. Actually, we had it yesterday. For one vine, so then the halachas are different. You only need, there's a lot of Marasayan issues, all the Mishnayos in Kilayim. That's like Marasayan comes up 50 times in Mishnayos, you know, 20 of them are in Kilayim. A lot of them are in Kilayim. So there, it's already, it's one Amma. So it's six Tvachim away, if it's just one vine. So here we're talking about one vine. So the Rishonim here discussed, the Ramban, I'll quote it to you from the Rashba, they discussed what exactly is the issue here about planting Zra'im on top. What's the issue here? It's not, is it an issue of Yanika? Right, they're nourished from the same area, says the Ramban, according to the Rashba. No. La vishum yanika mishum kilayim. No, because the Isra of kilayim is only when there's yanika and erbuvia. Yanika and erbuvia. And there's no erbuvia here, because there's space in between. So this can't be an issue. The problem isn't kilayim, why you can't plant Zeroyim there, but the issue is because the roots themselves are going to get intertwined. Lefisha gefen racha, vishorshi azroim nishrashin latocha, vahavi lei. Markiv Yarak Begefen. It's like you're grafting. You're going to be grafting underneath. They're going to go. It's not a regular case of kilayim planting within proximity of each other, because really there's dirt in between here. But the issue, says the Ramban and the Rashba, that there's going to be, it's going to lead to a case of Markiv Yarak Begefen. That is the Rashba up on the case of kilayim. So we see from here that by Zra'im you have to distance. By Zeroyim you have to distance. The Ksos knows the question of the Taz, the Ksosism in Kufnun Hay, and actually, you know what, let's wait for this, and then we'll see if there's time for it afterwards. Let's wait with the Ksos. Let's continue first. Says the Gemara, I have to distance. If I have a Meiraglayim area, I'm not allowed to put that next to my friend's field, a wall, three Tvachim. It's mutter for somebody to go to the bathroom next to their friend's wall. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says in Malachim, Dichrati la'achav mashtin bakir, va'atzur va'azub Yisrael. I'm going to totally wipe out Achav. Any mashtin bakir, that means anybody who goes to the bathroom by the wall, that means any man, and you see that must be normal behavior if the Pasuk mentions it. So you see it must be mutter to do it next to your friend's wall. Rabbi Bar Barchana is against the Gemara, is against the Mishnah. Right? He says you have to distance. Hasan b'shofkin. No, there's a difference between pouring meiraglayim. Let's say somebody has an avit shel meiraglayim, right? The toilet bowl. You pour the whole toilet bowl next to the wall. That's a lot. So that's where the Mishnah is talking about. You're not allowed to do that. But just a one-time thing would be mutter. Period. Skip the parentheses. Tashma. Lo yashin adam mayim mitzad kosel shachavero elam kehichem menagim mol tvachim. Again, the Brisa says you're not allowed to do it next to your friend's wall unless you're machik three tvachim. B'med v'ram amurim b'kosel aveinim. This only applies to a brick wall because that is going to destroy, let's say, the cement in between. Avol b'kosel avanim b'chdei shelo yazik. But by a stone wall, you know, just enough to so you don't directly damage and cause the stones to get loose. V'kam a tefach, just a tefach. You don't need two tefachim, you only need one tefach. So what do you see from there? Let's finish first. V'shel tsunma, and if it's one big rock, mutter, then everything is mutter. So tziyufta, d'rabba b'chana, tziyufta. But the tziyufta, d'rabba b'chana, because he's not machalik, he says everything's mutter. He says everything's mutter, and here's machalik between different types of walls. So therefore, it's a tziyufta on him. Ay, v'ha, rabba b'chana, kraka amar. But didn't he quote him, pasuk in Malachim, to back him up? So Hasam Hachika Amar. No. There is different. The Pasuk, you could give a different shot. Afilu Midi. What does it mean that Hashem's going to destroy every Mashtin Bakir? Afilu Midi to Darche Lish Tune Bakir. Even items or beings, that it's normal for them to do that. You don't have to say it's people. But even other beings, they're normal to do that. Lo shavik, and I won't leave that way. My niyu kalba, dogs. Right, dogs go to the bathroom like that. So therefore, that's what the pasuk's referring to. The Rishonim had discussed that there are psukim in Tanakh earlier, before Achav, that use this lashon, and they discuss why the one by Achav is picked and not the earlier ones. But it's said by both. You can look in the Rishonim here why that is. Period. Amar of TV bar kisna amar shvua. The Rishonim here discuss what in the world this has to do with anything that we've been talking about. Talk about the certain items that are good for walls, bad for walls. So that's what the connection is. Rekik enu mamayit b'chalon. If you have a house, two houses next to each other, and you have a window in between, and you have a mace in one of the houses, does the tumah go through? Does the tumah go through the window? So if there's an open window that's large enough, so then it goes through. Goes through. Rashi says, "Ein ma'ay v'chalon shebein bayis l'bayis v'ishba poseach tefach." If there's a tefach opening and there's a mace munach in one of them, so then the tumah goes through. The question we're dealing with here is: what if you put something into the windowsill? So now there's less than a tefach there. Is that mafsik? Does that make the window smaller? And therefore halachically, and therefore the tumah would not go through. So a rakik, a wafer, right? Is not ma'ay v'chalon. That's not ma'ay v'chalon. So that's what the Shmuel says. My argument: rakik afilo avinami. What do you mean a rakik? Even a thicker wafer, whatever. You got a thin wafer. Why does the Shmuel give the example of a thin wafer? Why not a thick one? Lomi boy kamar. It's telling you an added chiddush. Lomi boy ave. Not only a thick wafer. Kivan de ichzile lo mevatale. By a thick wafer, because even if you put it down on the windowsill and it gets a little moist, it's not going to be totally ruined. You'll still eat it, and therefore you're not mevatale. You're not going to leave it there. You're going to take it. So of course that is not mema'ed. Avol rakik demimis, but a thin wafer, which if it becomes a little moist over there, you're probably just going to leave it there. So therefore, you aim mevatale. There you might say, because it's not going to be roy anymore, you're mevatalid. Kamash malon. That's the chiddush. Even by a thin wafer. The Rashba says, what was the havamina? What was the maskana? In the havamina, we thought that it was purely an issue of kabbalas tumah. And anything that is makabal tuma will not be chotzes. Any food, every food is makabal tuma. So we don't think it's going to be chotzes, and that's why the Gemara asks. So why are you talking about a thin wafer? Should we talk about a thick wafer? We thought it's just purely an issue of kabbalas tuma. Answers the Gemara: it's not just an issue of kabbalas tuma. It's a question of: are you mevatel it there? Are you going to leave it there? Even if something is makabal tuma, it could be that if you're going to leave it there. Only there will you say it blocks, it's mafsik, masha'enkin. If you're not going to leave it there, that's the havamin and the maskana of this gemara. The tepek leg, the havilei, darishu makabal tumah, v'adarishu makabal tumah, inuchozim v'pereh tumah. Because the Rashba would have to go back, just going back to the first stage. But what do you mean? Why don't you just say it's an issue of makabal tumah? And anything that's makabal tumah, it's not chotzeitz, b'fnei ha-tumah. Tosas points out, 1 minute, but if you leave it there, it's not going to be makabal tumah. It's going to become part of the window. It's not food anymore. Tosfos says in Vatepukle. It says Vatema, the first wide line. If you vadele sulo makabal tumah, vitar. It's not considered food anymore. So Tosfos answer is an important yesod. No. The Mishnah says that something could be yored l'tumah with just thought. Right? If I decide that I'm not going to, this is a finished product, now it could be makabal tumah. But once something is tameh, to make it not tameh anymore, you require a maisa. So therefore, just saying it's going to be part of the window, that will not make it tahar. V'yish lomar, says the Tosfos in the second wide line, da'hasa ma'iri kagon da'avad b'hushinu imaisa, da'hadar rinan, that which we say that it's kol ha'kelim yordan l'day tumah b'machshava, v'in olam mitumasin el adi shini maisa, v'huadin ba'ochlin. Also, food requires shini maisa, says Tosfos. So anyway, back to the Gemara. So why don't you say it's automatically throwing this makabal tumah? Shenilosh be mei peros. It could be we're talking about a case of a wafer which was kneaded with mei peros, meaning for food to be makabal tumah, it has to have been become moist with one of the seven liquids from machshirin yad shachadam, the Rashi Tevis. Therefore, it could be these cases are an item that is not makabal tumah, and that's why you have to come on to the issue of being mevatel there. There's a lumdus of this issue about chalon from Reb Chaim, but we'll start with that about tomorrow. Let's just finish a little more first. Meisvei, kupa, malaya teven, v'chavis, malaya grogris. Let's say you have a basket of straw or of dates, hamunachan b'chalon, that are in the window. Rowin, you check. If you could take the items out of their container, so then chotzeitz. Why? Because the foods themselves, the items themselves, right, so Rashi explains, that is chotzeitz. Why is it chotzeitz? Because, let's just finish first, if you can't take it out, then you have to leave the bowls there, so then it is not chotzeitz. Why? Because if you have to leave the bowl there, so then that is a dover, that could be makabel tumah. So if the bowl has to be there, it's not chotzeitz. But if you could take it out, then just the food could be there. So the food could be a chatitza. What do you mean the food could be a chatitza? Maybe they're also makabel tuma. Vatevin chazi lebehemto. Right, the straw you could give to your animal. So it's roi lebehema, it's makabel tuma. So basar, you know, talking about putrid straw. Chazi latini, you could use it for cement. This big chotzeitz, you know, it has thorns in it. Chazi lasaka, you could use it for a fire. Bimetunta, it's wet. Chazi lasagadol, even if it's wet, you could use it for a big fire. Hesagadol oshchiach is not common. Grogers hachazile, but the dates are roi, meaning the question is in all these cases, they're roi to be makabel tuma, and therefore it should not be chotzeitz. Even if you could take it out of the container. Amr Shmuel, bishe hisrifu. B'chintani, Rav Baravua, bishe hisrifu. That means it got wormy, and therefore it is not roi makabel tuma. Okay, we'll talk more about this tuma and tara tomorrow. Bez Hashem and the Reb Chaim, Alashas, that has a chiddush about this halacha of chalon.